Welcome to class.
早晨好。
Let's begin with prayer.
让我们以祷告来开始。
Dear God, as we study your word today, would you speak to us?
亲爱的主，当我们学习你话语的时候，求你对我们的心说话。
Give us hearts that are open to you.
让我们的心对你敞开。
And help us to apply your word in our life.
求你帮助我们把你的话语应用在我们的生活中。
I pray in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣的名求。
Amen.
Amen.
Let me today introduce what I'm going to be doing the next few weeks.
那我今天先来讲一下未来的几个星期我打算怎么做。
I think it was about 2 years ago, I did a class at the church about how we interpret the Bible.
两年之前我在教会里讲过一个系列，就是如何来读圣经。
How to study the Bible.
就是如何我们来学习，来研读我们的圣经。
In one of those sessions, I told you there are many different ways to do Bible study, but two ways that I recommend for laymen to study.
那当然有很多种不同的就是研经的方法，但是对于我们平信徒，那我建议的是两种方式。
And this is important to me because the biggest marker for growing disciples is their willingness to study the Bible.
就是一个很明显的一个记号，就是一个特征，就是一个门徒的特征，就是很愿意去学习圣经。
The more we have to rely on someone else to tell us what it means, the less we grow ourselves.
如果我们更多的是依赖别人告诉我们说这个圣经是什么意思，那我们自己的成长就会受限。
And so I believe very much that studying the Bible is something that should not be just a pastor studies and tells you what it means.
所以我就很相信说这个学习圣经不是说是牧师去学习圣经，然后告诉你他所学到的是什么。
But that each one of us should be able to study and understand scripture ourselves.
我们每个人都应该去学习自己来理解圣经。
And I told you at that time there are two ways that I find useful.
我那个时候我告诉大家有两种方式我觉得是很有帮助的。
One is to carefully study verse by verse through a book of the Bible.
一种就是说把圣经中的一卷书呢就是一句一句的来学。
And that's a very valuable way to study the Bible.
那个是一个很宝贵的很有价值的学习圣经的方法。
But especially on big books of the Bible, I have found another way that is also very helpful for me.
尤其是对圣经中的大部头的书，我觉得另外一种方式对我个人也是很有帮助。
And that is rather than trying to find everything in the book, to look for one thing.
在圣经中，不是说在那部书里边找出来每一个东西，每一样细节，而是就去专注在一点上。
To read all the way through a book of the Bible looking for just one idea.
就是你把这卷书呢通读，然后就找出来一个主要的这个观念，主要主题。
If you look in the Bible that I have my devotions, you will see many times I will read through a whole book with a highlighter, just highlighting one word each time it appears.
然后呢你如果看到我的这个灵修的圣经你就看到我对一本书呢我常常是就找出来一个字一个词然后我看到的时候就用高光笔把它给画出来。
And then I'll read through again in a different color, I'll highlight a different word each time.
然后呢我再去读一遍这次呢我去找另外一个词用一个另外一个颜色的高光笔把它给画出来。
And so, here at the in the summertime, we have a few weeks between finishing what we've been doing on the Apostles' Creed and what I want to begin studying this fall, a new topic.
然后呢，现在我们正好在暑假，我们刚刚完成了《使徒信经》。那秋季的时候，我会想另外一个主题。那中间呢，这一段时间。
And so I decided in these weeks, I wanted to take one idea and look in the book of Revelation at it with you.
所以呢，我就想在这段时间呢，我们就看启示录，然后我们就找到启示录里的一个我们想看的主题。
I am not going to try to deal in depth.
我不打算就是深讲细讲。
And I'm also not going to try to do an overview like we would do in Bible survey.
也不是像在我们做这个新约概论的时候做一个就是一个概览。
Instead, I want to take one idea and I want to show you how that goes throughout the book of Revelation.
我就是想我们专注在一个观念上一个主题上然后看在这个这卷书里它是如何进展的在各卷各章里是怎么表现的。
There are other Bible studies that will do much better at in-depth, verse by verse.
那当然也有很多的别的那个研经就是一句一句的就是一个深入的来探讨。
I am not going to try to do that.
我不是想试图这样做。
But I want to look at one idea.
那我就看一个观念。
And I'll come to that in a bit, but first I want to give you just a little bit of an overview of how I read Revelation.
那刚开始呢，我先给大家一点，就是还是有一点概览，就是我自己是怎么来读启示录的。
Not everyone agrees with me on this, but I will tell you my understanding and how I'll be approaching it.
然后呢，不是每个人都同意我的这种想法，但是我就是告诉你我个人是怎么想的，然后我是如何来读这本书的。
First of all, and I'm not putting these on a PowerPoint, but you can jot them down if you wish. The first thing I want you to see is that this book is, everyone agrees, is what's called an apocalyptic book.
我没有把这个做出来幻灯片，但是呢，你们可以写下来。每个人，所有的人都同意，《启示录》是一本启示文学。
Apocalyptic literature is Daniel,Ezekiel, Zechariah, Revelation.
然后启示文学就包括但以理书、以西结书、还有撒迦利亚书、还有启示录。
And it's a very special style of writing.
它是一个很特别的一种写作方式。
Until a couple years ago, I could never come up with how to describe it.
直到几年之前我都没有找到一个合适的方法来描述这个启示文学。
And then about 2 years ago, one of my students gave me a graphic novel and said, read this.
大概几年以前我有个学生呢就给了我一本就是那个绘画小说就是那个动漫小说似的说你读一下。
I began reading it and I said, ah, this is Revelation.
然后我就开始读，哎，我说这就是启示录啊。
Not the content, but the style.
不是说内容，而是说这种风格。
And by that I mean this.
我的意思就是
,apocalyptic literature draws pictures for us.
就是启示文学呢，它好像给我们面前画了一幅图画。
In fact, one of the things that helps to understand Revelation,
帮助我们理解启示录的一点就是
very, very few people in the first century had the book of Revelation and read it.
在初期教会就是头一百年的时候很少有人就是有这个启示录并且读了它。
Instead, they listened to it read.
他们其实是听的启示录，他们不是好像是一本书放在他们面前自己读，而是听的。
And I think that's important.
那一点我觉得很重要。
Because when we read, we tend to focus on intellectual processing of the words.
因为当我们读的时候呢，就是我们拿着书阅，用眼睛来阅读的时候呢，我们比较倾向于关注在这种头脑中知识性的这种一个过程。
When we listen,
但是当我们听的时候，
we form pictures.
我们就会在脑海中形成一幅图片。
In fact, in verse 3, Revelation 1 verse 3,
启示录第一章第三节这么说。
John recognized, he says, blessed is the one who reads aloud.
他说念这书上预言的都是有福，他那个念就是大声的朗诵出来那个意思。
And then, blessed are those who hear.
然后他又说那些听见的又是有福的。
And so,One of the things that I think is important is this book is looking at pictures, at symbols.
然后呢，很重要的一点就是这本书呢，它所看的是这种图像啊，是这种象征表符号。
It is giving us big pictures, not tiny details.
它给我们是一个整幅的图片，而不是那种细节。
Let me give you an example.
我给大家一个例子。
Turn to Revelation 12.
请翻到启示录第十二章。
And I'll say that for most of these classes, I am going to want you to have your Bibles and follow.
上课的时候，我希望大家手中都有圣经，并且跟着。
One reason I decided I didn't want to use PowerPoint for these lessons, I want you to be more involved in actually looking in the verses.
我之所以呢没有用这个幻灯片，我就是想要大家更积极主动的去这个来自己来读圣经，来跟着圣经看听。
So each week have a Bible with you as you join in.
所以呢每次来上课的时候请你带着你的圣经。
But for right now, don't look at this verse.
但是现在呢请你不要去读。
Just listen to it.
就是来听。
Revelation 12.
启示录第十二章。
A great sign appeared in heaven.
天上显出大异象来。
A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars.
有一个妇人身披日头，脚踏月亮，头戴着十二星的冠冕。
She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth.
她怀了孕，在生产的艰难中疼痛呼叫。
And another sign appeared in heaven.
天上又出现异象来。
Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems.
天有一条大红龙，七头十角，七头上戴着七个金冠冕。
His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth.
他的尾巴拖拉着星辰的三分之一摔在地上。
The dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she bore her child, he might devour it.
龙就站在那将要生产的妇人面前，等她生产之后就要吞吃她的孩子。
She gave birth to a male child.
妇人生了一个男孩子。
One who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron.
是将来要用铁杖辖管万国的。
But her child was caught up to God and to his throne.
她的孩子被提到神宝座那里去了。
And the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1260 days.
妇人就逃到旷野，在那里有神给她预备地方，使她被养活1260天。
The big picture of this.
这个大的图片就是
And there are many, many ways of interpreting the details.
有很多不同的方式来解释这个细节。
But the big picture is this shows the history of the messianic line.
但是这个就是展现了这个弥赛亚他这个族系的历史。
The battle that Satan fights to try to stop the coming of the birth of Messiah.
就是撒旦他要想阻止弥赛亚到来的这样一个征战。
In 5 verses, John summarizes thousands of years of history.
在五句经文里边，约翰就概括了这个几千年的历史。
That's the approach of apocalyptic writers.
那个就是启示文学作者的一种写作方式，他的如何来写的。
Giving you a big picture with lots of symbols and lots of images to picture, envision.
他给你很多的这个图片，就是一个图画，图像，然后呢，它里边有很多的这种就是表征啊，符号啊，给你一个概念。
And so I'll be trying to focus on the big picture of this rather than all of the details.
所以我不会专注在细节上，我会专注在整个图片上，整体上。
The second thing I'll tell you about interpreting this book is that the primary key to the book is the Old Testament.
对这本书的诠释的这个关键，这个钥匙就是旧约。
Now I'm going to tell you something very simple.
我会告诉大家一些很简单的。
But something that it seems to me many people who read Revelation do not know.
但是呢，很多读启示录的人好像不知道的。
And that is this.
就是。
When John wrote this book.
当约翰写这本书的时候。
There was no internet.
那时候没有因特网。
Did you all know that?
大家都知道是不是没有网络。
I think that's important.
我觉得那一点很重要。
In other words,
另外一句话，换个说法就是
When they heard this book read,
当他们听到这本书被读出来的时候，被朗诵的时候，
They were not matching it to CNN.
他们不是说把这本书跟那个 CNN 的新闻在并排的一起读。
They were not matching it to Fox News.
他们也没有把这本书跟那个福克斯新闻一起来读。
They were not asking which American president is this.
他们也没有在说到底美国总统就是这个跟里边的某个人呢。
They did not have a map of China.
他们也没有中国地图。
They had never heard of the European Union.
他们也从来没有听过欧盟。
What they did have,
他们所有的就是
and what all of John's readers knew very well was the Old Testament.
就是所有的这个约翰这个约翰的这个启示录的受众，他们所知道的很清楚的就是旧约。
And so when they heard him talk about a dragon,
所以当他们听到约翰讲到龙的时候
They did not think
他们没有想到说
I remember China uses the dragon as the symbol
他们就会说我想起来了中国是用龙来像代表来象征
What they thought was
他们所想到的就是
I remember the dragon
我想起来了龙
That's always in the Old Testament.
它总是在旧约里边。
And it's always a picture of evil.
它总是一个邪恶的象征。
Now, here is why to me that is so important.
对我来讲，为什么这个这么重要呢？这原因就在于。
The book of Revelation was written first to the people in the first century.
这个启示录首先是写给公元一世纪的人的。
And John said to them, back to verse 3.
我们再看一章三节，约翰对他们说，
Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy.
他说就是大声念这书上预言的，是有福的。
Blessed are those who hear it.
那些听见的是有福的。
And blessed are those who keep it.
遵守其中所记载的是有福的。
That means to obey it.
那个意思就是说你要去遵行、遵守。
The people who received this book in the first century, John says, you are to obey this and you will be blessed.
然后呢，对于第一世纪就是收到约翰这封书信的人来讲，约翰说，你们要遵守这书上所记载的，你们就是有福的。
I do not believe that 2020 is the first time anyone could be blessed from the book of Revelation.
我不相信2020年就是才是第一次你读到这本书，你才会被祝福。
And so its message is something that speaks to the past, to the present, and to the future.
所以我相信这个信息呢是给过去的人，也对现在的人，也是对未来的人，是给所有人的。
Every generation of the church has shared certain problems.
就是每一个世代的基督徒都有大概是有同样的一些问题。
And so I believe that every generation of the church could read Revelation and say, that's us.
然后呢，我就相信说每一个世代的基督徒，当他们读启示录，他们都会说，哎呀，那就是我们。
Some of the book has not yet happened.
说这书上的有些所描述的还没有发生。
It is future now, and it was future for them.
就是说，对我们现在来讲是未来，对过去有些人来讲也是未来。
Some of the book happened in the first century. It's past.
对，这个书上的有些内容呢，在公元第一世纪已经发生了，那就是过去。
And I believe that much of the book comes around over and over and over throughout every generation.
我觉得这个书上的就是有些内容呢，就是不断的回来，就是在每个世代的基督徒其实都是经历的。
And so that is how I will approach the book.
这就是我是怎么来解读这本书。
What is the message of this book for every generation?
那这本书对每个世代的基督徒的信息是什么呢？
An apocalyptic book is different than history.
启示文学跟历史书卷是不同的。
History says in 1970 this happened.
历史说在1970年发生了这些事。
In 1971, this happened.
在1971年又发生了这件事。
72, 73, year by year.
然后就是72年、73年每一年都发生了什么。
Apocalyptic literature looks from above.
但是呢，启示文学是从上面往下看。
And it says, this happened.
然后他就说这个发生了。
When?
什么时候呢?
And the writer might say, oh, many times.
然后作者可能会说很多次。
One of my favorite writers about Revelation says this.
我最喜爱的一个写关于启示录的，写关于启示录的一个作者这么说。
We read Revelation to satisfy our curiosity about end times.
然后呢，说我们读启示录是要满足我们对于末世的这个好奇心。
John wrote Revelation to confront us with God's demands and God's promises for all time.
然后呢，约翰他写这个启示录是要让我们面对神对我们的要求和神对我们的应许。
If I summed that up, the whole book, in just two sentences.
如果把整本书用两句话来概括的话，就是
Sentence number one.
第一句
God will win.
神是会得胜的，神最终会赢。
In fact, I could say, I should say, God has already won.
或者我应该说，我也可以说，神已经赢了。
Because remember, this book is looking from above.
你要记住，这本书是从上面来看的。
It sees the whole picture.
他看到了这个整体的图片。
We might be here.
我们可能就在这一点上。
But he is looking and sees the whole thing.
但是神看到了从始至终。
And so he is able to say, God has already won.
所以这本书就说神已经赢了。
The first sentence I would say of the book, God has already won.
第一句我要概括总结的就是神已经赢了。
And the second sentence.
第二句我要讲的是。
We must be faithful.
我们必须要忠心。
You see, sometimes it feels like we're losing.
因为有的时候感觉到我们在节节败退。
And when it feels like we're losing, we want to run.
当我们感觉到我们在失败的时候，我们有时候就想逃跑。
I have been reading for my own enjoyment a history of the Civil War.
我为了我自己的想，我就是自己在读这个内战时期的历史。
It doesn't help me for teaching Bible.
没帮助我教导圣经。
It's just a relaxation.
就是我的一个放松的方式。
But one of the difficulties of a general in the battle.
就是在战场上这个将军所要面临的一个难处就是
is that if the soldiers in the front began to think they were losing,
就是在前线上的最前线的这个士兵如果他觉得他们已经在打败仗
they would start to run,
他们就开始逃跑
they were not cowards,
他们这些逃跑的人并不是懦夫
As long as they thought they were winning, they would stand there and fight, even though they might die.
他们只要他们觉得他们在打胜仗，他们就会坚持在那里打仗，然后即使是付出生命的代价也在所不惜。
But if they thought they were losing, those same soldiers would throw their guns down and start to run.
但是这个如果他们以为他们在打败仗的话，这同样一个士兵，他可能就把他的武器给放下，就逃跑了。
And one of the job of the commander.
所以呢，作为这个将军，作为指挥官的一个工作就是
，was to say we're not losing.
就是要告诉他们，我们没有打败仗。
Turn around and fight.
转过来继续去战斗。
Revelation.
启示录
says we are not losing.
启示录就是告诉我们，我们没有打败仗，我们没有输。
Stand up and fight.
你站立起来，继续战斗。
But we must be faithful.
但是我们必须要忠心。
We must be faithful even when it hurts.
即使受伤害我们也要忠心。
If you read Revelation very carefully, you will realize we're going to get hurt.
如果你很仔细的去读启示录，你就会意识到我们其实是会被伤害的。
Christians are going to suffer.
基督徒是会受苦的。
Christians are going to die.
基督徒也会死的。
That hurts.
那个真是不舒服。那个会难受。
And Revelation says we must be faithful anyway.
但是启示录告诉我们，不管何种境况，我们都要忠心。
That's the demand.
那个就是神的要求。
But the promise is we're winning.
神的应许就是我们在得胜。
even in our death, we win if we are faithful to God.
即使是在我们的死亡当中，面对死亡，我们如果对神忠心，我们其实也在打胜仗。
This book is not about academic study of what will happen at the end of time.
这本书不是一个对于说什么未来会发生什么的一个学术上的一个学习。
It is the term I like, practical eschatology.
我很喜欢的一个词语就是一个实际的末世论。
Eschatology is the study of last times.
这个末世论就是对末世末日的一个研究。
Practical eschatology says, this is how I must live today because of the last time.
这个实际的末世论就是因为末世的这些所要发生的，我现在应该如何来生活。
And so over the next few weeks, what I want to do is take one aspect of this book.
所以在未来的几周呢，我就会找到这本书的一个方面。
And if you'll go to chapter one,
如果大家翻到第一章，
the first phrase gives you what I'm going to be focusing on.
第一句呢就告诉我们就是我想要专注的。
John begins like this.
约翰是这样开始的。
The revelation of Jesus Christ.
耶稣基督的启示。
Now, that phrase has two meanings.
这一句呢有两个意思。
Many, many commentators argue about which meaning John intended.
然后呢很多的这个解经学者呢就在讨论就是说到底约翰他是两种意思中的哪一种。
I think John was a very brilliant writer.
我觉得约翰呢是一个非常聪明的一个作者。
And so if he tells us something that has two meanings, I think he intended both.
如果他告诉我们有两个意思，那我觉得他就是真的是意味着他要讲这两个意思，包含这两个意思。
That phrase "revelation of Jesus Christ" means two things.
耶稣基督的启示里边就意味着两件事。
A revelation from Jesus
是由耶稣基督而来的启示。
And a revelation about Jesus.
一个是关于耶稣基督的启示。
Let me say it like this in a longer sentence.
那我就用一个比较长的词句来描述。
This is the revelation.
这是一个启示。
That Jesus gave.
是耶稣基督赐给的，给予的。
About Jesus.
是关于耶稣基督的一个启示。
The revelation came from him.
这个启示是从他而来，从耶稣基督而来。
The revelation is about him.
这个启示也是关于他的。
And that's where I'm going to be focusing in these few weeks.
所以这就是未来几个星期我要专注的。
Only one thing.
只有一件事。
What does this book show us about Jesus?
这本书里边向我们所展示的耶稣基督是什么呢?
Because it seems to me that John says to those early Christians who are suffering.
对我来讲,我觉得约翰对初期那些在受苦难的教会来在讲。
If you see Jesus,
如果你看到了耶稣基督,
You'll be able to survive the suffering that you face.
你就可以忍受，你可以坚持在你因为你所受的苦难中，你可以忍受下来，你可以坚持下来。
You see, put yourself in their shoes.
把你自己放在当时设身处地的想一下。
Rome is all powerful.
这个罗马可是当时最有权势的帝国，好像掌控全世界一样。
I think we have no idea today an understanding of how powerful Rome was.
我觉得我们今天的人其实没法想象当时的罗马是多么的强盛。
And the reason I say that is when we talk about our world now.
这我之所以这样讲是因为当我们谈到我们现在的世界。
We will talk about the power of the United States and the power of China.
我们会讲到中国的这个强盛，中国的势力跟美国的势力。
Or the power of the United States and the power of Russia.
或者是这个俄罗斯的势力跟美国的势力。
The power of China and the power of India.
或者是中国的势力，或者是印度的这个势力。
We always have conflicting powers.
我们总是有这个好像相抵触的这个势力。
When they talked about their world,
但是当公元一世纪的人谈到他们当时的世界的时候，
they talked about the power of Rome.
他们谈到这个罗马的权势。
Period.
就那样了，句号。
There was no end.
这个罗马的权势可是没有对手，也是没有结束。
There was no one else.
除了罗马的权势之外，没有别人，没有别的势力。那就是那样。
And so imagine that you are a Christian.
你想象一下，你是当时的基督徒。
And Rome, the only power in your world.
罗马当时你所在的世界的唯一的势力
says I'm going to destroy you，
告诉你说我要毁灭你，消灭你。
And there are just a few thousand of you，
但是呢你们的人数只有几千人。
It's hopeless，
那真的是一点盼望都没有，一点希望都没有。
There's nowhere to run.
你可没地方可以逃。
Because Rome's power is everywhere you can go.
不管你去哪儿，这个罗马的都是罗马势力所及。
John writes in that time.
约翰写作的时间就是那个时期。
And he says to them.
他对他们说，
I want you to get a picture.
我希望你们有这样一个大的一个图片，一个图像。
Of Jesus.
就是耶稣基督的图像。
And if you get a picture of him, you won't be afraid of Caesar.
如果你们真的是知道看到耶稣基督的真的是看到他，那你就不会害怕凯撒。
If you see him, you will understand how weak Caesar is.
如果你真的看到他，你就知道这个凯撒有多么的软弱，多么的微小。
I think the whole book is about Jesus.
我觉得启示录整本书都在讲耶稣基督。
And I don't mean that. I know you can say, well, of course, the whole Bible is about Jesus.
我知道你们有人说，当然了，整本圣经都在讲耶稣。
But I mean something more specific.
但是我讲的这一点更具体。
I mean it is very specifically about who is Jesus in relation to the battles that we face in our world.
我觉得它更具体的是讲对于我们所面临的今天的征战，那耶稣基督跟我们今天的那个关系是什么？相比我们今天的状况。
And so that's what I'm going to focus on.
所以这就是我想要专注的。
And I'm going to ask you as we do this to be thinking about this.
所以当我们来学习的时候，我请你们来想。
How would your life be different?
你的生命生活会怎么样的不同呢？
If you really saw Jesus the way John saw him,
如果你真的像约翰那样见到了耶稣，你的生活会怎么不同呢？
How would you face the difficulties in your life
你如何,
if you saw Jesus that way?
如果你是这样子来看到耶稣基督, 你怎么来面对你生活中的这个困境跟难处呢?
Because very few Christians that I know have see Jesus the way Revelation shows him.
因为我只有见到很少的基督徒, 他们看待耶稣基督是像约翰那样来看。
Many, many Christians I know believe that Jesus has less power in their daily life than the President of the United States.
因为呢, 因为我认识很多很多的基督徒, 他们实际上是相信在他们的日常生活当中, 耶稣基督的权力呢, 要比美国总统小。
They will never say that if you put it in a question.
如果你去把他们这样问一个问题, 他们从来不会这样说。
But how they actually live their life.
但是在他们实际的生活当中,
says the president has more power over my daily life than Jesus.
所以呢, 他们的实际生活就在表述说, 美国的总统, 比耶稣基督在我的日常生活中有更大的影响，更大的权力。
They have much more hope in the Supreme Court than they have in Jesus.
他们对这个美国最高法院的这个, 希望呢, 远远胜过对耶稣基督的盼望。
They think their boss at work has more power over their daily life than Jesus has.
他们也觉得在他们的日常生活中, 他们的上司, 他们的老板, 就比耶稣基督有更大的权利。
I was teaching in a church.
我在一个教会里边, 教导。
And I asked, who has the greatest influence, the greatest power? What person has the greatest power on how you live your life?
我就问他们, 就是哪个人在你的日常生活中对你有最大的影响, 也有最大的权利?
People said, my wife.
有的人说, 我太太。
My husband.
我先生。
My boss, my children.
我的老板, 我的孩子。
I said,
我说,
the answer is Jesus.
答案应该是耶稣。
And here is what someone answered.
那有一个人这么回答,
I thought you meant a real person.
我以为你在说的是个真人呢。
Now, this was a Christian.
那这样说的人是一个基督徒。
They knew that Jesus is real.
他们知道耶稣基督是真实的。
But they don't expect him on a daily basis to actually influence their life.
但是他们却没有期待在每日的生活中耶稣会影响他们的生活。
Revelation says the person who has the greatest influence on your life today is Jesus.
启示录就是告诉我们, 这个人就是在我们生活中对我们有最大影响的是耶稣。
That your ordinary daily decisions are more than anything guided, should be guided by him.
你每日就是这样普通的平凡的生活中的各种决定应该是被他来引导。
I'm not going to get very far today, but let me just give you one example of this.
我不会今天讲很深, 但是我就给大家一个例子。
Go down to chapter 1, and I want you to look in your Bible.
请大家翻开圣经, 启示录第一章, 第一章。
Let's go down to, actually, let's go just to verse 5.
我们来看第五节。
This is the first picture he gives us.
这是约翰说给我们的耶稣基督的第一个描绘。
Who is Jesus Christ?
谁是耶稣基督呢?
The faithful witness.
这个诚实做见证的。
The firstborn of the dead.
从死里首先复活。
the ruler of the kings on earth.
为世上君王元首的。
That's our first picture.
那是耶稣基督的第一个描绘，第一个图像。
Now here's what that says to them.
那对当时的基督徒所说的就是。
And I want you to hear what it says to them and then see if it says the same thing to us.
我想让你们先听到说他们先对当时的人讲的，也想他是不是对你也这样，对今天的人怎么说。
He says that Jesus is the faithful witness.
他说耶稣基督是诚实做见证的。
The word witness there is the same word that refers to a martyr.
他那个做见证的这个词呢，跟殉道士是同一个词。
It's the word that we get our word martyr from.
这就是那个殉道士这个词的来源。
Because for them to be a witness meant they could die.
就是对那个第一世纪的基督徒来讲，你做见证就意味着你可能会死。
You have probably read polls that say that 60% of Americans are Christians.
你可能会读到一些调查报告说美国有 60% 的人说自己是基督徒。
And people have said to me, if 60% of Americans are Christian, why do we have so much trouble?
有人就说了，那如果 60% 的人，美国人都是基督徒，怎么我们会有这么多的麻烦呢？这么多的难处呢？
I taught in Nigeria for a seminary. There was another teacher there who has taught in many places where Christians are persecuted.
然后呢，我在尼日利亚呢，就是教课的时候，有一个基督徒，他在尼日利亚的各处去教导，去教课。教导那些被逼迫的地方去教课。
He said, 60% of Americans are not Christians.
他说，美国60%的人都不是基督徒。
He said, I'll tell you how to find out how many are Christians.
但是我告诉你，你能够找出来，发现有多少基督徒。
Put a gun to their head.
你就把那个枪呢，指着他们的脑袋。
And say, if you are a Christian, I will shoot you.
说，如果你是基督徒，我就开枪。
Are you a Christian?
你是不是基督徒？
I said, if you do that, there will be no Christians in America.
我说如果你这样做的话，在美国就没基督徒了。
He said, that's why we have trouble.
说那就是为什么我们在美国有这个问题。
You understand?
你了解吗？
John says, Jesus is the faithful martyr.
约翰说，耶稣是诚实的殉道者。
He's writing to people who may die for their faith.
他写信给的这些受众，可能是为了他们的信心而死。
And he says, Jesus is the one who's already done that. He died for his testimony.
然后他就说，耶稣基督已经这样做了，他为了他所做的见证，他已经死了。
But here's what I want you to see.
但是下边我想你明白的是，你看到的是。
He then says, because he was the faithful witness,
因为耶稣是那个诚实做见证的。
He is the firstborn of the dead.
他就是从死里首先复活的，是出熟的果子。
That means he is the one who conquered death.
那就意味着他是那位战胜征服死亡的。
But here's why that's encouraging.
那为什么会这个很鼓舞我们呢？
Firstborn means there will be others.
那个出熟的果子就意味着后边还有很多别的果子出来。
He was a martyr like these people will be.
他是那个殉道者，就像那些后边跟随的人也会是。
He conquered death like these people will.
他也战胜了死亡，征服了死亡，就像后边跟随的这些也会征服死亡。
And now he is the ruler over the kings of the earth.
现在他是世上君王的元首。
And he says to them, if you are faithful, the day will come when you will rule.
如果他约翰对这些人说，如果你忠心，有一天你也会像耶稣基督，你也会掌管，会统管。
Imagine you are a Christian in the first century.
想象一下你是第一世纪的基督徒。
You are hiding.
你在躲着，在藏，躲藏。
You can die for being a Christian.
因为你是基督徒，你可能会死。
And on a Sunday morning, you go to church.
然后在一个星期天的早晨，主日的早晨，你去教会。
And the pastor says, we have a letter from John.
然后牧师说，我们从约翰那里收到一封信。
And this is what he said.
约翰说，
This is a letter about Jesus.
这是一封关于耶稣基督的信件。
The faithful martyr.
耶稣基督这位诚实的，这位真实的殉道者。
And when you hear that, you say, hey, that could be me.
然后你听到了就说，哦，那有可能就是我呀。
And the rest of the book, he's going to tell you, it's okay if you die.
然后这本书的余下的部分就告诉你说，如果你真的死了，那个没关系。
You're following Jesus.
你在跟随耶稣。
The first to be raised from the dead.
是死人中活起来的首生者。
And the rest of the book is going to say, if you are faithful, you too will be raised from the dead.
所以呢，下边的都告诉你说，如果你也是那个忠心的，你也会从死里复活。
The ruler of the kings of the earth.
是世上君王，世上众君王的元首。
And when you're sitting there, you say, hey, wait a minute. That means I don't have to be afraid of Caesar.
所以你坐在那儿就想说，哎呀，那就意味着我不用怕那个凯撒。
Because Caesar is not in control.
因为凯撒他没有说在掌管。
He thinks he is.
他觉得他管着一切，掌管一切。
He says he is.
他也说他掌管一切。
But he's not.
但是他没有，他其实不是。
You don't have to be afraid.
你不需要害怕恐惧。
Now we move to 2020.
我们现在来跳到2020年。
And here's what I'm wanting you to do over these few weeks.
所以呢，未来的几个星期，我想大家所做的就是，
I'm wanting you to see who Jesus is and what that means for us.
我就想让大家看到耶稣是谁，那对我们意味着什么呢？
He is the faithful witness.
他是那位忠信的舍身作证者。
Now, I understand this is a Sunday school class in West Palm Beach.
我知道这是我们中理堂华人教会的主日学。
No one is pointing a gun at your head.
没有人拿枪顶着你。
You're not going to die because you witness.
不会因为你去做见证你就会冒死，你就会死。
But it will cost you.
但是会让你付代价。
If you testify to your neighbors who are not believers, they may laugh at you.
如果你对你不信主的邻居去做见证，他们可能会嘲笑你。
If you run your business honestly,
如果你
you may lose some money.
如果你诚实的来做你的生意，你可能会就是会丧失很多金钱。
If you tell the truth to your customers, they may go to a different company.
如果你把真相呢告诉你的顾客，他们可能会去找别的公司。
It will cost you to be a faithful witness.
所以要作为一个诚实的见证人呢，会让你付代价。
But then you say, ah, I won't be the first.
然后呢，你会说，我不是第一个。
I will be following Jesus, the faithful witness.
我在跟随耶稣基督那个诚实做见证的。
And then you keep reading.
然后你就继续的读。
And you say, ah, if I follow him, he was raised from the dead and I will be raised to everlasting life.
然后你就说，哦，如果我跟随他，他已经从死里复活，我也会从，会有从死里复活有永生。
He is ruler of the kings of the earth.
他是世上众君王的元首。
I don't have to be afraid.
我不需要害怕。
Because he is in charge.
因为他在掌管。
This week,
这个星期,
would you every day read verse 5?
好不好就是每一天来读第五节,一章五节。
And get those three pictures in your mind.
然后把这三幅图像放在你的脑海中。
And as you go about your daily life,
然后你过每天的生活的时候,
I am following the faithful witness.
我在跟随那位诚实的做见证的。
That should make your suffering, the little conflicts you have, seem much more manageable.
那会让你每天的这个所你所受的苦，你所面对的这种冲突挣扎，看上去是更可以来忍受，来管理的。
The firstborn of the dead.
他是首先从死里复活的。
When you're tempted to be discouraged or afraid, to realize He has already conquered death.
当你就是觉得会害怕呀，或者是要灰心丧气的时候，你要记住，他是那位已经战胜死亡的。
And whatever pressures you face to realize, he is ruler above all of those things.
不管说你面对什么样的压力，你要知，心里就知道说他是掌管这一切的，他在一切的事上都是掌管的。
Next week, I'm going to start looking further at the pictures of Jesus in these books, in this book.
所以下个星期开始我们会看更多的对于耶稣基督的描绘。
If you want to prepare, take you a highlighter.
如果你想要准就是预备的话，请你拿一支高光笔。
And begin to read through Revelation.
然后就开始来通读启示录。
And highlight each picture that you think is a picture of Jesus.
就把每一个你觉得对耶稣基督的描绘或者是一个图像给画下来。
And we're going to be looking at those for a few weeks.
然后我们未来几个星期就来看对耶稣基督的描绘。
Let's pray.
让我们一起来祷告。
Lord, in our Christian life, Satan tries to get us to focus on the difficulties of life here.
主啊，在日常的基督徒生活中，撒旦想要我们就是要聚焦在每天的这个难处当中。
He tries to convince us that it is hopeless.
他想要说服我们说没盼望了，没希望了。
That we are on our own.
我们只能靠自己了。
Over the next few weeks, as we look at you, would you help us to gain a new confidence?
主啊，当我们未来几个星期在看你的时候，求你让我们能够心里重新有这种确据，有这种信心。
To know that you're in charge.
真知道说你在掌管一切。
And we can face life with joy and confidence because you are on the throne.
因为你在宝座上，我们可以带着喜乐和这种确据来面对生活。
I pray in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣的名求。
Amen.
Amen.